Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I just remember the first time watching Reservoir Dogs, just being shocked by this scene. I mean, just shocked.
I think that's the intent of the scene, yeah.
God. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. So the Eagles, the starters looked really good on Friday night. By the way, I did think the end of the game was total bogus. And I just was thinking, like, man, if the Eagles ever lost a game that way, we'd never get over it. I mean, basically, it should have been a pass interference on the opposing Jet receiver. And the ref throws a flag, then they pick up the flag, and then the Eagles lose the game. Like, Seltz, did you notice that? What a bad call that was?
I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, well, Jets receiver
checked out at the
Jets
end.
Receiver pushes off.
It was all Phillies Mets by the end
fair,
of there.
Fair enough. But anyway, it just Jets receiver pushed off, and it should have been called. And Had the ball been moved back 10 more yards, then, you know, chances are the Eagles defense would have held them and they would have won the game. Doesn't matter because it's a preseason game, but it would have mattered a lot if it was a regular season game. 215-592-9494. Obviously, the big headline from Friday night was Jalen Hurts looked really good. He looked really good. Six passes, six completions, crisp, commanding, good decision-making.
Were no doubter passes. They were precision passes. And they weren't all, you know, super easy passes. Yeah. I mean, some of them, you know, on the move.
Yep.
But they were all caught in stride. That was nice.
It was really good to say. It was very, very encouraging to see Hurts play that way. So if you want to react to Friday night, what stood out to you? Not just Hurts, but the rest of the team, good or bad. And then also, of course, the Phillies, who, you know, it's rare that they're going to lose two of three. And I'm going to it's totally abnormal. They're going to lose two of three and get shut out in two consecutive games. And I'm going to walk in here feeling good about them. But honestly, I do. Look, you're going to lose two or three sometimes. They faced a great team with great pitching. I thought it was highly entertaining to watch such supreme pitching on both sides. And I just feel good about the way the Philly starters went about their business. Ranger especially. Because you know Wheeler and Nola should be pretty darn good. But Ranger could help you win a series or two or three. It was really nice to see. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Paul in Downingtown right now. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Paul.
And hey, Richie, I'll just say that WIP has a great bench. But welcome back, brother. You were sorely missed.
Thanks, man.
And on that punt, Joe, that you were talking about, that guy hit that 77 yards in the air. It did wind up in the end zone.
Yep.
But that ball traveled in the air from the 8-yard line to the 15-yard line in the air. I mean, that's just – I mean, the guy that was supposed to catch it was within a foot of it,
yeah,
but was helpless to try to catch it because of, I guess, the velocity or the angle. That would have been an interesting pick. I mean, I would almost laugh at anybody that takes a punter. But when you see a guy like this,
totally,
the way he can split field position, you know, especially in today's game where – field position and the way drives work, you know, it just, boy, I mean, I think that guy could have been, maybe we should have been looking at him because the guy we have just isn't getting the job.
I agree. Listen, Paul, I talked about it. I don't remember where John was pre-draft, but I certainly mentioned it. I mean, if a punter can be the best punter in the league, I mean, I think it could be worth a fourth or fifth round pick. I don't think this guy got drafted until the sixth round. Matter of fact, there was a different punter drafted in front of him.
Two punters were taken in front of him.
Yeah, no,
that's weird.
Really.
I know.
Weird. Now, listen, maybe there's something. Maybe they look into this guy and there's something they don't like. I don't know. It just seems weird that someone with the biggest leg would be the third punter taken in a draft. I don't know what explains that. It's just odd.
Yeah, maybe there's a downside we don't know about,
right,
or something. But
right,
he had two 80-yard punts last year. 80. Two of them. You know what I mean? I mean, that's obscene when you consider the field's only 100 yards long. And the punter is 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
But, you know, irrespective of all this, I'll say this. I don't know. And I'll say, Joe, first of all, thank you for flipping my Phillies frown upside down. Your perspective switched my mood on that team. So thank you very much for that, sir.
Sure.
Richie, I wanted to ask you, you know, as a former professional football player and athlete, if football shape just doesn't matter to you guys because you're such better athletes and you're better conditioned and you're just a different breed, quite honestly. I mean, I played high school football. I watched you. I can't imagine playing against you. I played with some guys who played Division I. I could never catch them and they always made me look stupid. So are you guys just like, you know, are you just that much of a different breed where football shape doesn't matter?
It does
because
matter.
I don't understand.
It does matter because you're setting yourself up for injury if you're out there standing straight up and down. And that is a huge problem for Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis is gigantic to begin with. When he gets tired, just watch his pad level. He stands up.
All right, Paul, give me a big answer. Give me a big answer, a song with words in a movie.
I kind of like this one. It's a little personal because it was perfect age for this movie. But the Simple Minds have a song called Don't You Forget About Me from Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And it just resonates with me big time.
Sure. Yeah, no, I remember that. That was certainly notable in that movie. All right, John, Twitter poll question of the day. Again, this goes back to Friday when we were trying to figure out, you know, when you weren't here, best coming-of-age movie. Not best movie, but the best movie representative of the concept of someone or a combination of people coming of age. So, 11 o'clock hour, our choices were, because we made this a Twitter poll today. Boys in the Hood, The Graduate, Superbad, The Wizard of Oz. then let's all go on record with what the three of us would say. I don't know Superbad. I know people on Friday thought that was a pretty good answer. From what I know, I would say Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
John, where would you go?
Boys in the Hood or Superbad.
Okay, Seltzer, where would you go?
Yeah, I would go Boys in the Hood as well, but Superbad is a great answer.
All right, John, you got to take a stab here.
I think Boys in the Hood wins.
Superbad won.
Oh.
By the way, considerably much more voting. 49% of people said Superbad.
Wow.
25% said Boys in the Hood, 20% for The Graduate, 6% for The Wizard of Oz.
Wait, what? Why is The Graduate in there? Did you pick that?
Well, a caller picked it. Seltzer ultimately picked it today with the finalists.
It's literally...
Yeah. I still haven't seen it.
I mean, it's one of the all-time coming movies.
don't do that. You should see it, man. It's really a masterful movie.
I don't want to.
All right. So you annoy me sometimes. But that's okay. All right. So now we know that Superbad, whatever the heck that is, everyone else apparently knows it but me.
You should check it out.
All right, hold on.
It's available right now.
Hold on. I'll do
on
it.
On demand.
I'll do Superbad this week. If you do The Graduate this week.
Ooh.
Or we can say by Labor Day. It gives us like 2.5 weeks.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Is that fair, John?
Yeah.
Superbad and The Graduate by Labor Day.
Why do you get to watch good movies?
Graduate's good.
Is Dude, it good? Graduate's good. A great it's movie.
So you're saying it's aged appropriately?
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Ray told us last year that he thought The Graduate didn't hold up when he recently watched it. Ray did it, which shocked me because... I mean, I think it'll totally hold up when you watch it. Just by Labor Day, that's the deal. Superbad and The Graduate. All right, so now we open up the 12 o'clock hour semifinal poll for best coming-of-age movie. The four choices this hour, and you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. A Bronx Tale, Almost Famous, Stand By Me, Remember the Titans.
Oh, man.
That's a lot of good stuff
in there.
Heavyweights. It really is. So get voting on that. Again, A Bronx Tale, Almost Famous, Stand By Me, Remember the Titans. We'll see what gets to the finals versus Superbad. Judd Cameron, John Rich, up ahead at 12:30. Elliot Shore Parks, phone calls throughout the show right here on 94WIP. Hey, let me tell you about PXG. I just love my new clubs. I tell you all the time about them because they're amazing. I mean, when I tell you these clubs are amazing, I mean they are amazing. I have already shaved off about 10 strokes per round. I mean, 10 strokes. From the clubs I used to have, which is incredible. And the key, of course, is get yourself fitted at the King of Prussia PXG store. So you go there, you get yourself fitted. Means that they check out your swing, what you do, what you don't do, how you hit it. And then they tailor the clubs specifically to your natural swing. And it's helped me. It can help you as well. Take your golf game to thrilling new heights with a PXG club fitting at that King of Prussia store. Now for just $25. That's a reduced price, just $25. PXG... they'll fit the right clubs to you to skyrocket your performance, fine-tuning every swing from beginner to tour pro. You can try the incredible new Gen 5 clubs. Those are the ones I have. Those are the ones I totally recommend. Gen 5 clubs, Generation 5, made with PXG's most advanced technology and materials to maximize your distance, accuracy, and forgiveness. Schedule your PXG club fitting at giveusyourswing.com/Philly. Again, that website, giveusyourswing.com/Philly. PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way PXG does. Nobody, period. You know, this is a topic, honest to God, we could talk about for an entire week. There are so many movies, and there's so many songs. Like, no one's even said Sing in the Rain yet, which, you know, like, could win.
Could have.
Well, could have, but, you know. Come to the table late, man. That's what you get. Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie. Elliot Shore Parks at 12:30 tonight. So we'll talk to Elliot, get his the Eagles didn't have a practice today. What did they have today? Was it a walkthrough today?
Yeah, I know they practiced obviously yesterday with the Dillard stuff, but no practice today.
You know how it goes, John. You play a game on a Friday. By the time you get to Monday, you need a break.
They were in pads yesterday.
I just got to tee this. I got to tee this old school guy up sometimes.
Yeah, I don't like it much, but at least they hit yesterday.
There you go. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Nick in Chester County right now. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
Hi, Nick.
First of all, you know, John, sorry to hear about Dad. My deepest condolences for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to address the N'Kobe stuff because – It's starting to bother me how I think he's being talked about by not everyone, but some people for sure. I don't I think what happened was when he fell in the draft, I think people sort of forgot what he was as a college player. Like, that guy, ask any Georgia coach, they're all on record. He was the best player on that defense. He was more. I like Davis. Like, don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a better NFL player than a college player. But, like, all those coaches would tell you Dean was the most valuable guy on that defense for them.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, like, I mean, he did everything. And, you know.
But, Nick, how do you explain him going in the third round then? I mean, by the way, someone else went in the top two of the draft.
Well, there were two things. Number one, the size, which, you know, I don't understand why people are still concerned about, you know, size of certain positions in all of sports, because I think a lot of athletes have proven, you know, that stuff wrong in every sport, but everybody still, you know, gets concerned over it. And then also the injuries, which obviously he's not hurt. So I think if you told all 32 GMs, like, he's going to be healthy, he absolutely would have been a first-round pick.
I don't know about that, Nick. I actually see it quite differently than you. I see it that when he got drafted in the third round, a lot of people around here immediately chose not to recognize that he got drafted in the third round. I mean, I talked to someone, a week or two ago, and someone's like, oh, it's great. The Eagles got a first rounder in the third round. And I'm thinking to myself, they did? Then why wasn't he taken in the first round? Why wasn't he taken in the second round?
Nick, you think that watching that preseason game, you felt like he exploded off the field to your eyes? Like, you felt like he was a difference maker out there?
I mean, John, he played like one quarter and had five tackles.
He's playing linebacker. I mean, he's in there every play.
It is a good
defense. Do
linebackers average five tackles per quarter?
No, they don't. They don't. I get your point there. I mean, listen, Nick, I thought he was
– I didn't think he was as aggressive as I wanted him to be. I felt as though he – I don't know if it was he's out of practice, you know, because it's been so long since he's played real football. So he was just sort of, I don't know, protecting himself, or if he was, you know, trying to do the right thing. And so he was false-stepping and not – as aggressive as I expected. I'm not saying he was terrible. It looked like he was in the right spot, but not as, you know, he wasn't igniting on contact like he did at Georgia, actually. There was like one nice hit I saw where, you know, he took that tight end out who was trying to lead block on him. But I wanted to see a first rounder. And it didn't look like he was as productive as I had expected he would be.
All right. Hey, Nick, give me a big answer here. From a movie, a song with words that's used really good in a movie.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the Batman movie that came out this year?
Yes.
Okay. Two for three.
Something in the Way by Nirvana in that movie is
all
perfect.
Right. It's a great answer.
All right. How about that? Okay. Let's go to Thomas right now. What's up, Thomas?
Okay. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Well, Thomas.
Good afternoon to you.
Afternoon.
I wanted to, my condolences to John on loss of his dad.
Thanks. Thank you.
My father passed away 12 years ago. I still miss him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just had an insight into what originated the wave.
Oh, please tell me, because I'm watching that Eagles game on Friday, and I'm thinking, how did the wave ever start? So, all right, what is the intel here, Thomas?
The insight was back before it started, back in like the 60s into the 70s, there was this thing. And of course, you know how they say all trends come from the West Coast and move east.
Okay.
And this one certainly would fit that bill. They used to take beach balls and they would pop them around, mostly around the LA Rams games in the Coliseum. And then sometimes they would do two or three. And the crowd would get kind of competitive, and I could see how it would have evolved out of that.
So are you guessing, or are you telling us that you know the answer?
I'm kind of somewhat theorizing, because I lived through all this, and I did the wave years later. But the whole beach ball thing seemed like it started that idea of audience participation and standing up, and you know, you have to raise your hands to move the ball around.
I don't know. It sounds to me like you're taking a guess here.
It seemed to evolve from that.
All right. Well, we'll have to look it up. We'll check that out. Thomas, give me a big answer for a song in a movie that has words.
What was the song of? What was the context?
Give me a song in a movie.
Well, I don't know if it's right because I heard it kind of at the end, but I know the song that hit me like a rifle bolt was when I was young, the Rose.
Oh, yeah, the Rose. You're talking about Bette Midler.
The movie's kind of a downer, but the song is unbelievable. It's a very rare song. It doesn't repeat one word in the whole song.
Listen, it's a beautiful song, Thomas.
Yeah.
It is. And listen, I've been trying to get John Ritchie for years to embrace the song The Rose.
Movie?
I believe the name of the movie is, I think it might be called The Rose, the movie. I don't know. There's a Bette Midler movie that song is featured in. She's I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen clips. I think she's on a payphone talking to her mom.
That's the movie?
No, I mean, she's going through a tough time. And the whole purpose of The Rose, the point of the song The Rose is like to not be afraid to get hurt, but you got to open yourself up to love. It's a beautiful concept, John. It's a beautiful concept. So I'm going to need you at some point here to look up The Wave, because that last caller seemed like he was just taking a guess.
Yeah, he was. I just looked it up.
All right, what is the story of how The Wave began?
So not necessarily the most definitive answer. There is general disagreement is the takeaway.
And it doesn't have to do with beach balls?
No. The general disagreement about the precise origin of The Wave. Most people believe it started North American sporting events in the late 70s and 80s, but it was also apparently going on in South America. Mexico claims that they started The Wave. So there's a lot of who started it. Apparently, there's an article on ESPN that says it started with a cheerleader at an Oakland A's game in 1981. She led the crowd in The Wave. There are other people who say it started in Mexico in soccer games prior to that. So there's no clear genesis of The Wave.
And so if this cheerleader did it at this A's game, then the idea is that she was probably pointing at people saying...
Exactly. She
like,
was
directing
leading
people.
Them in The Wave is the point.
Like an orchestra conductor.
Sure.
Would you call that a conductress?
I don't know. I think there's still a conductor either
okay,
way.
I don't know. All right. So maybe an Oakland A's...
conductress is a word.
All right. Let's go to the phones and talk to Roy right now. Hi, Roy.
Hello.
Hello, Roy.
Hello, Roy.
Hey, John. Sorry about the loss.
Thank you, Roy.
I'll talk about the Phillies now. I mean, hey, I live up here in Reading. Been going to Reading Phillies for 50 years. I'm 65 years old. I mean, let's be serious here. I'm rooting for them, but you know what Denny Green said? Remember what his quote was? We are who our record says we are.
Well, that wasn't the quote. The quote was, they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
You're right. You left me off the hook.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see if I can get another quote right. Jim Mora, playoffs? Playoffs? Come on. We're not playing Washington and Pittsburgh 162 games now. Hey, I'm the biggest fan, but let's be real here.
Well, here's the thing I think
34 breakouts.
Here's the thing I think you're missing, my man. Right now, they're in a playoff spot if the season were to end today. The Milwaukee Brewers, who are one of the main teams obviously they're competing with, are good, but they're not truly great. And the Phillies have been playing.
And we have the tiebreaker over them.
Phillies have the tiebreaker, which I don't look at too much when you're 50 games out, but it helps. And the Phillies have been playing great for now 2.5 months. I think you're being a little hard on them. I really do.
Yeah, but we're not playing the Pittsburghs and the Washingtons and, the Miami, the Marlins the whole season. Let's be real here.
But we're playing them a lot of the season.
That's true.
And the Reds. Throw the Reds in there.
Seriously.
Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Well, Roy, you got to remember, it's also not the old day standards. Look, it bothers me. I wish there were only two teams that made the playoffs in the National League. I do. I think it would be really interesting for baseball if there was only two teams or four teams that made it. But now there's six teams in each league, and that's the standard in modern day for baseball, and the Phillies look like they're probably going to measure up for that. I mean, it's no done deal. They got a ways to go, but they're looking good. Roy, give me a big answer. A song that has words in a movie.
The Titanic.
What song?
Celine Dion.
What song?
I would that be the name of the Titanic, the theme.
All right, my man. Roy, I'm writing it down. A song with no name.
Who doesn't love a good song? Like a horse with no name.
I mean, I wasn't being too hard on that guy, right? I mean, I wasn't asking for the name of the movie. I wasn't asking for the singer.
No.
I was asking for a song. Listen, my heart will in fact go on. The question is, will Elliott Shore Park's heart go on after seeing Jalen Hurts perform the way he did the other day? Because Elliott's been pretty lippy about Jalen not having a particularly good training camp. But at least on Friday night, he looked quite outstanding. Elliott, how are you, buddy?
Doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
So what'd you make of it, man? I mean, Hurts obviously played really good. How did that look to your eyes as it compares to what you've seen in every training camp practice, and how do you explain the big jump?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, obviously Friday night was definitely a positive. I like that he threw it six times. I'm happy they didn't come out and run the ball. Obviously going 6 for 6 with a touchdown was impressive. He had 2 completions over 20 yards. So I thought really on Friday he was everything that you could have hoped for, and I definitely think it's a positive. Now, if you want to then start to look closer at it, I think that, you know, how does it explain away the poor training camp practices, or is it a sign that he is going to have a big leap? I do think on Friday night he was set up in the way that what the big question for me this year is when defenses game plan to stop the run and they game plan for his weaknesses specifically, how will he counterpunch, right? And I don't think we got the answer to that on Friday night because the Jets are bad and they're not game planning. So I still think there's a lot to be seen with Hurts. I still think his training camp performances so far have not been great. But, yeah, Friday night was really good.
I agree. It was very good. Jalen Reagor looked like he was used and he was effective. And it sounds like he's having a great camp by people who are there and watching. What do you think is more likely for Jalen Reagor, that he makes the team or that he gets traded?
That's a tough one. I would really say maybe like 55% he's kept, 45% he's traded. I think they would like to trade him if they could get something better back for him. But what's helping Reagor is there's really not a lot of competition for him there. Like there's the top four that are obviously going to make the roster. And then you can say Greg Ward is somewhat competition in the way that he's been, you know, productive, I guess, when he's played, more productive than Reagor has. But Greg Ward hasn't practiced at all in training camp. So I think that's clearly hurting his case. I don't think Covey has done enough yet to take Rager's roster spot. And then you get to like the Deion Kanes and John Hightowers who have had flashes, but they're not, in my opinion, better than Reagor.
Well, I'll tell you this though, Elliott. I thought Covey, and it wasn't much, but I liked his quickness on those punt returns. And more of a willingness. I know he went back the one time, and Reagor had the one when he went back. But Covey showed me quickness in a small area.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Which is a really key part for a punt returner to hit it up the middle. I mean, someone has to return. Look, kickoff returns don't matter anymore, basically, because the ball gets kicked in the end zone almost every time by these guys. But punt returns matter. I liked what I saw from Covey the other day.
Yeah, I agree. I think Covey is quicker than Reagor is. Like in small spaces on punt returns, I think he's looked more explosive than Reagor has. I just don't think punt returning is valuable enough that it's going to dictate a roster spot. Like I think the final receiver spot is going to be decided by if they had to play this guy at receiver, who would they trust more? Now, I don't think they have a ton of trust in Reagor, so it's not like in some insurmountable climb that Covey is facing. I just don't think he's done enough yet where if the Eagles said, okay, week one Detroit, who do you want out there, Rager or Covey at receiver? I still think that answer is
well, correct. Let me just ask you this, though, because I see this a little different, Elliot. I think the punt returner is more important than the fifth receiver. But let me just play along with the way you're framing this. If Rager is chosen for the roster instead of Covey, who in the world returns punts week one against Detroit?
So, I mean, Greg Ward is an option if he's on the roster. But look, it could be Rager again. And I'm not saying
but it can't. Rager, but it can't be. That's my point.
No, but it, right.
But it better not be, yeah, is my point.
Right, right. That's how you feel. And I'm not saying you're wrong about that. But he was their punt returner last year. I know he clearly had the mistake against Tampa. I don't know if I trust him back there, but he has done it before. So it very well could be Rager back there. I mean, he was the first punt returner in the first preseason game, right? So clearly that seems to be the indication of where they're going.
What's the real deal with Covey's injury, and will that affect his ability to, you know, perform at a high enough level to even make the team?
So it doesn't seem like it's going to. On Friday night, I guess he told Ed Kratz that he had torn ligaments in his fingers. Sirianni joked on Sunday at practice that Covey, you know, is a good receiver, but not a great doctor. So at this point, you know, he was out there at practice. They're saying it's just a finger sprain. So I think at this point, it's really not an issue at all. I mean, if he makes the team, it'll be because he earned it. I don't think like his fingers are going to impact him from doing that.
So how much does Kelsey's injury hurt Cam Jurgens' chance to start at guard for this team? Because Cam Jurgens will be forced to play center in Kelsey's absence.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess he's going to get less reps at guard, which clearly isn't a great thing. But ultimately, I think they really like Jurgens. I think they like how quickly he's picked things up. I think you could see that at the center position, which, in my opinion, is probably the toughest position in terms of knowing the playbook and pointing out coverages, or not coverages, but pointing out the front seven in terms of what you're seeing. So I think that they like where he's at with that, which would make it easier to slide over to guard, in my opinion, if he was needed to. So I actually think these reps at center and being out with the first team and all, you know, the experience he's getting could help him more than if he was just getting second team guard reps throughout practice.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Elliot, what'd you make of Nakobe Dean's performance the other day?
I thought it was a positive just because he hasn't really stood out in training camp so far. I'm listening to the show today, and I think, Richie, you make some good points about, you know, maybe this doesn't mean he's ready to start week one, but I thought he looked like he was a good tackler, which, you know, with the concerns about undersize, I think it was good to see that he did a nice job with that. And again, like for me, it was just the fact that he made plays that made you say, oh, there goes Nakobe, which he hasn't been doing in training camp. And the fact that that happened in a game, granted against second and third stringers, but still in a game, I think it was a positive for the whole, you know, when the lights come on and the pads go on, you'll see a better Nakobe. And I think that is what happened.
Yeah. He played solid. It just felt like he wasn't playing all out, you know, like he wasn't flying around with the reckless abandon I was hoping that I would see. I saw an article that you wrote. You feel as though Jason Huntley is a stock up guy after that game. What did you like about his performance?
Well, I thought he looked quick, number one, right? I just think he has an explosiveness outside of Miles Sanders that the other running backs don't really have. I don't think Gainwell has that type of quick speed to his game. I mean, Boston Scott does somewhat, but I don't even think he's like especially quick. Huntley has like speed that you recognize, right? So Huntley got a lot of work. Obviously, it was because of other running backs not playing. But I thought, you know, of the running backs, he was a stock-up guy.
Elliot Shore Parks with us. Elliot, what can you tell us about the Andre Dillard fights yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, look, one thing with Dillard is I think that, like, him showing passion and kind of showing an edge at the position has always been a bit of a question mark. So on Sunday, that was certainly on display. He got in two different fights, one with Derek Barnett, one with Patrick Johnson. And the Barnett one to me is kind of especially noteworthy because I remember, I think it was either his rookie year or his second year, he got in an altercation with Derek Barnett and he didn't handle it well. Like Dillard himself did not handle it well. He had to kind of be consoled after that happened. And so I think to kind of see him go at Barnett, to be fired up, to see him go at Patrick Johnson, you know, you don't want to ever see people swinging in practice. You could get hurt that way, all those things. But from Dillard specifically, I would imagine the coaches maybe kind of enjoyed seeing him show that fire.
Huh.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that's a fair assessment. Elliot, Sirianni totally noncommittal on which starters would play this upcoming weekend. Obviously, they're going to be practicing against Cleveland during the week. Do you think we see Hurts again this preseason, or is he done?
I would be very, very surprised. And in fact, I think if Hurts does play in these games, it means they don't like what they've seen in the joint practices. Last year, in the joint practices, I was going back and looking at my notes. Like, Hurts was really good in those joint practices. And because of that, they didn't play, you know, in the preseason games against them. So maybe you see them, but I would be surprised. I think they really enjoy these joint practices. I think they feel like they get good work out of them. They've even compared them to games in terms of how the players' bodies feel after. So I would be surprised.
And go ahead, Sean.
I got one more thing. Back just to the linebacker thing.
Yeah.
A lot of good, talented, athletic guys running around out there. Is Davion Taylor losing traction? You know, a guy who was a starter last year during training camp. In the preseason game, he's out there with the twos running around. But is he becoming less of an option because of all the other talent we have available?
I don't think he's losing traction. I think he's very firmly that number three linebacker right now. Now, because they're only going to play two a lot, right, and they brought in Kaiser White and T.J. Edwards has played so well, you know, maybe he won't get as many snaps as he did at times last year. But I think they think Davion is having a really good camp. It does seem like almost every other practice he comes away with an interception, whether it's like a tip ball or just being in the right place. Mm. Like, he's had a very good camp, and I know they really like him. So I think he's very much in their plans at linebacker. Like, I think the linebacker depth chart, there's a clear top three, and then after that, there's a gap, and you know that's where N'Kobe's at, that they're going to have to work their way past those players.
Mm, okay.
Elliot, third-string QB, would you expect Howie to make a trade before the season?
Well, I don't think they're going to keep three quarterbacks on the roster. I know they like Reed Sinnett, and they, you know, Sirianni's answer was...
How can they like Reed Sinnett? The guy looks horrendous.
He's had a good training camp, and he was their backup last year. So, look, he was bad on Friday night, at least for most of it. He did have that drive at the end that was somewhat decent. But, yeah, he was bad. So I don't think he's going to be on the roster. But he has had a good camp, and they've had him in the building for a while. So I don't think that one game is going to completely end his chances. I still think they go with two quarterbacks and then likely bring in a third for the practice squad, and that guy will probably be Reed Sinnett.
Okay. Elliot, always good having you on the show, man. We'll see you down at training camp tomorrow. We will be there. We're looking forward to it. And then, obviously, Perfect. The team heads out to Cleveland later this week for practices and a game. Good stuff, Elliot. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys.
All right, you got it, man. I'll just say this on the third-string quarterback. We all hope it doesn't come to that, obviously. And if it does, their season's probably just about done anyway. But it might just be a game or two. And, I mean, I remember one year Michael Vick was their third-string quarterback. Last year to start the season, Gardner Minshew was their third-string quarterback. And then you compare it to a guy like Reed Sinnett. I'm like, good Lord, man.
Why is it that Carson Strong wasn't?
Everyone's saying he's having a horrible camp. So for whatever that's worth. Now, why they then didn't play him, it could be because, I don't know. They want to see more out of Reed Sinnett, and you're going to see Carson Strong a lot in the second and third game. I mean, that's what I would think. I found that a little strange too, John. I'll just say that. 215-592-9494. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
The Bet Parks app is everything you want in a digital casino and sports book. It's the only app that I recommend, and the Bet Parks Sportsbook app has you covered for football season. Bet pro football futures. Bet now on how many games the Birds will win this year. Bet on whether the Birds make the playoffs. Bet on who has the most passing yards, the most rushing yards. Bet the pro football champion. Based on a $100 money line wager, Buffalo pays $600, Tampa Bay pays $750, Green Bay pays $1,000, and the Birds pay $3,000 if they win it all. And golf fans, Bet Parks is the official betting partner of the PGA Tour. With live in-game betting, you can bet on the action as it happens. Join me and bet on all your favorite sports. Play all your favorite casino games for real money. Download from the App Store, Google Play Store, or at betparks.com. And new users, you can make your first bet risk-free up to $750. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The Bet Parks app, sportsbook, and casino all in one amazing app. Today is your lucky day.
I don't know this. So is this the Batman movie? What is this?
Yes, it's Nirvana.
And what's the new Batman movie you guys are talking about?
It's with Robert Pattinson. It's called The Batman. It came out in like March, I want to say.
Okay.
It's good. I enjoyed it.
Well, this song, whatever the heck really it is, can't possibly win. I mean, whatever this is depressing.
Yeah, well, that's the point. It's dark and gritty and depressing.
There you go. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to our buddy Sean right now. Hi, Sean.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing all right, Sean.
Hey, my thoughts and prayers go out to you and your family. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Sean.
Hey, on the Phillies, I couldn't disagree more with the last caller before Elliot was on. The Phillies are I'm not disheartened by this weekend at all. When Ranger can go up against Scherzer, and then we got the next game with DeGrom and Nola, when our pitchers can go up against them, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the year, mid-August, if we're still doing that, I'm feeling great. I'm in good shape with this. And let's look at what the Phillies have left for the rest of the month. We've got 17 games left. 13 of them are against the Reds, the Pirates, and Arizona. So a perfect opportunity to not only maintain but move up in that wild card race. Because if you look who's ahead of us, we've got the Padres. And the Padres recently lost Tatis to the PED issue. Mm-hmm. So that's a big hit for them. So we're either going to – I predict that we're going to take that second wild card by the end of the season. And it puts us in great shape for the playoffs. So I'd like to get your take.
Well, I think you're looking at it a little simplistically. And what I mean by that is it's no sure bet the Phillies will get the second wild card. Obviously, the Tatis news is big. But, look, I just think this thing is still up in the air. I think the Phillies have a really good chance to make the postseason, but I think it's far from a slam dunk.
Yeah, I mean, I just trying to remain positive regarding the rest of the season. And look, seven of the 48, I didn't even mention the Nationals. In September, we're going to see the Nationals seven more times. So the schedule definitely benefits us. So I think it's time to bear down once we get Bryce back, Schwarber back. I think we're in good shape.
Phillies are in they're in a really nice spot. Sean, give me a big answer here for a song and a movie.
How about Unchained Melody and Ghost?
Wow, that's a really big answer, man. That's a really, really big answer right there. So let me ask you a question. Is that a better answer than Fernando Tatis' answer of why he tested positive?
Yeah, just a bit.
So, James, you're like Mr. Baseball back there. Yeah, no one really believes him, right?
No. Does anyone ever believe these guys in these situations when they come out and say, oh, it's something I ate or it's a cream I used or whatever? Like, come on, man. Nobody believes you.
I mean, I got to find the quote. I have it here somewhere in my phone. But, yeah, he's going with a totally, totally, totally different explanation than, like, yeah, I did it. Mm-hmm. I got caught. You know, he's going with, like, the dog ate my homework. John, does the dog ever actually eat the homework?
Very rarely. And Tatis, I don't believe you.
By the way, I got to tell you, Jonathan Papelbon, I the first time he did anything in 10 years, I liked Jonathan Papelbon talking about Tatis. He was on a radio show, and Jonathan Papelbon, of all people, comes out and says, he goes, this whole Tatis stuff, man, it almost enrages me. I worked my ass off for so long and so hard. And did it the right way. For me to see something like that, it hurts me so bad. He goes on to say, I'll tell you right now, if I was pitching, every single time I face that dude, I'm drilling him. I don't care if I'm bringing in a run and losing a game. I'm drilling him. So Jonathan Papelbon laying down the law. Let's go to Chris in Northeast Philly. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Condolences, Richie.
Thanks, Chris.
It is good to have you back, though. It's really good to have the Commander's Battalion back in full force.
Thanks. That's what we are, the Commander's Battalion.
Well, it was either that or the Sire's Corps, but I used that one a couple years ago. So.
Yeah.
But as far as Jalen Hurts goes with that performance, I was happy to see it. I thought he looked good. I don't know. All it really does for me in the long run, though, is it kind of negates a lot of the reports we were hearing about training camp and how he didn't look good. Like, I still fully support him, but I'm not sold on him as the Eagles quarterback of the future. But it was good to see. I thought he played well.
I don't think it should negate the training camp reports. I think that it. Listen, I won't say negate. I would just say it's a really nice bounce back from, you know, what's some of what I've seen myself. But
hold on, the training camp reports are taking like nitpicking every single period of like 7-on-7.
Sure. Well, yeah.
You know, non-game situations that are in shorts, most cases, because that's how they practice now.
Yep.
And the preseason game was as close to real football as you can get. So when he plays real football, he has looked great. Yes, in a very small sample. But I think we are getting way overboard on the whole, like, let's nitpick every practice and every throw. That's way too far. Yes, I know it's important. Practice is important. That's where he's getting better. But now we see the proof in a game, and I'm not going to count that. I'm not going to count practice the way I count a game. He has shown us exactly what we wanted to see in the game, and you can't minimize that. That is so important.
It is important. I agree with you. It's important. Chris, Kim, what do you got on the Phillies, my man?
The Phillies, I just want to quickly say, I was calling in talking a lot last week about 2 out of 3 or a possible sweep against the Mets. Obviously, I didn't get what I wanted, but I did come out of that series like pretty positive on the team as a whole. I thought they battled good. I thought – I mean, Wheeler just got unlucky yesterday. Not a lot you could do about some of those hits that he gave up. But, I'm pretty positive on this team. I'm excited for the stretch run, and I definitely think they're going to be in the playoffs.
It's not definite yet, but it's looking, you know, pretty good. Give me a big answer here for a song from a movie.
I'm going Hip to Be Square from American Psycho, the scene where he hacks him up with the axe.
You got it, man.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, Chris. You got it, man. So here's a quote from Fernando Tatis, John. Back to the Tatis thing.
Yeah.
He says, "It turns out I inadvertently took a medication to treat ringworm that contained, I don't know what this word is.
Inadvertently.
Clostebol. It contained Clostebol. I should have used the resources available to me in order to ensure that no banned substances were in what I took. I failed to do so." So, you know, a lot of people don't believe him. Here's the other thing I'll say, though. You know, we also got to be careful. I mean, every organization has had players that have either tested positive or we know, you know, partook. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for us to, you know, shake our finger and what is it, wag our finger. What do we do? What do we do? I'm getting my metaphors confused. I'm just saying it's not like the Phillies haven't been down this road, too. Come on. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Right. But he's been waiting this whole season to be ready to come back.
I know.
If I have ringworm, I'm double-checking every ingredient on everything. I mean, that they tell these guys, you know, professional athletes, like everything you put into your body, every supplement, every medication, you have to be sure it's on the lists of approved, you know, whatever, medication or supplementation. Like, this is his job. His body is his job. And in my opinion, there's no way he put something into his body accidentally.
215-592-9494. Coming up, I got to give props to someone from the world of sports who did something the other day. Swear to God, I never even thought of the possibility of it occurring. It never even dawned on me as something that could occur, and it did. Who it is, what he did, I'll tell you next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.